This is a replay of Monday Night Trivia on December 4th on WGN Radio. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings unless sports preempt us. That's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe. It's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We have 3 hours to spend together. Monday Night Trivia. Yeah, the time is right for trivia. All right, so now, a couple things. Before we get to that, let me also remind you that your input remains underway until Christmas Eve, basically, and that is your guilty pleasures, the poll requested by you. Yeah, we did the world's worst hit records, as we do every year, and occasionally we get people who say, oh, you got to do the guilty pleasures, the records that we love but we're embarrassed to admit. And invariably, when I've done this in the past, many of them that wind up in the top 10 are also on the world's worst hit record list. So that kind of makes sense, because after all, they are hits. Even if you and I hate them, somebody loved them, and maybe it's you. So as long as it's a hit, if you love it but are embarrassed as all get out to admit it, well, we take your votes no matter what we're doing between now and basically Christmas Eve. Christmas Eve falls on a Sunday, so we will not be on the air, but Christmas night is a Monday, and that's when we'll be playing them back. I think we'll also have Steve Bryant joining us, as has become tradition, if he is up for that. I haven't checked with him yet, but I think he will be. All right, so that's the deal on that. Now, of course, the Raleigh James I Hate the Holidays Club in full swing, don't you know? And, yeah, if it's ho-ho-hum to you or worse, well, this is your safe respite. No forced frivolity here. We'll slug through it all together, and you won't hear, I want a hippopotamus for Christmas or anything else except the few that I like. Like Gee Whiz, It's Christmas by Carla Thomas. I'm going to subject you to that a couple times because it doesn't work when I play it in June. All right, now we have two stragglers, and I'll get to them in a moment. Let me also tell you a little about the bumper stumpers tonight. The theme is going to be easy. I easily could have done over 100 songs and kept to the theme. So the theme's going to be easy. Ah, but guessing the artist may not. And either way, you win for that. Now, the prizes aren't worth the postage it takes to get them to you. We will mail them eventually. In other words, don't stand by the mailbox, because it could be a very long time. And you're doing it for the fun of it, mostly. But you do get a certificate and something like a CD or a tabloid or a DVD or something. So, and each time you win, we add to your stash, as far as that goes. So now, that's the deal. All right, so our stragglers. We had two of them. Because, and this was 2 weeks ago, because last week's there was virtually no show, it was a half hour. So I promised I'd hold them over. We have two of them because I'm an idiot. That's right, I forgot there was one in play and I gave you another one. So now, let's review both of them so you can guess on either of them. By the way, if you don't like my bumpers and you don't know my trivia questions, you can have your own category and sky is the limit on that. You know something about something, everybody does. Whatever it is, you tell me the category, we'll find a question and you'll win that way. Like we'll have Lisa in Dundee, who wants 1930s movies tonight. All right. Well, the plot thickens. All right. So I'm in another studio tonight, and the screens aren't quite as large, so I have to lean over to see anything on them. But that's what it says, I think, Lisa Dundee. All right. So the questions. Here we go. In the last several decades, you hear a lot about women's accomplishments and milestones. Well, the first time a woman did this was the early 1930s. It was a job. The second time didn't come along until last year. That's right. So a woman was hired to do it in the early 30s and not again till last year. Yeah, you can imagine when she was hired in the early 30s, people went nuts. Well, co-workers anyway. So what's the what is she doing? What's the job? All right. The other question. You are undoubtedly familiar with this. You've not only heard of it, you've heard it. Many seek it out, probably more don't care, but the first time anyone heard it was the late 1890s, and we have already determined they heard it on what was the radio, not the radio you and I listen to necessarily, but the one that Marconi was broadcasting live on. So that's today, you hear it all the time, but the first time anyone heard it was 1898, so be somewhat specific. All right, so there's your questions. Now Bruce and Elwood's going to kick off the night. All right, so Bruce, welcome back to WGN, and the first question is, how you feeling?
I'm doing pretty good, Raleigh. Really am.
You sound like you're back to your old stuff. Yeah, excellent.
I got stronger a lot faster than normal.
Good.
Yeah, I've just been doing good. I'm eating good. I'm driving.
Yay.
I'm able to go places. And
all right.
I can't believe how well I did come back. I think I carried that screwed up mesh in my stomach for 15 years. It should have been taken out.
Yes.
And I didn't do it.
Yes.
And when I was forced to do it, it was the best thing to happen to me, you know?
Absolutely, because now your body doesn't have to fight itself.
There was adhesions in there, and blockages. And,
oh, jeez.
You know, the lady that did the surgery, she really didn't want to go in there. She was telling me it was going to be really bad. I was going to have a bag and everything.
Oh, God.
When I woke up without it, I was just so happy. I shook her hand so good before I left the hospital. She just straightened me out. She didn't want to go in there, but it just had been 15 years I've been having trouble with it. And I'm like, it'll quit hurting. It'll quit hurting.
You know, it's so interesting when we have those chronic things. We sort of like feel like we can deal with it, and it gets a little worse, but over time, and we think, oh, it's not that bad, and we envision all the horrible things that could happen to us if we did something about it. And then when we finally do something about it, it's like the body is so relieved for the first time in 15 years it can heal.
Oh, yeah. I fought this all summer. I was sick all summer, that last day before I called the ambulance, I mean, I was sitting there and I had stuff coming out of my stomach you couldn't believe. And it's like, I got to go get this done.
Yes. Oh, well, thank God. And of course, you know, it is scary beforehand because you never know what the outcome's going to be and all that. But afterwards, when it works out well, you're like, how come I waited so long?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I got two. First, I got two songs.
Okay.
One, I want to give a vote for Country Roads.
Oh, my God. Moving up the charts. All right.
Well, you know what? I think it's like someone said, it's a time in your life. I remember I had just got my 66 Fairlane, and I go down the road and play that song and open that thing up with the glass backs on it, and that just takes you back to that point in your life.
All right. Good deal.
And then the other one I want is Can I Have This Dance for the Rest of My Life from Ann Murray.
Oh, Ann Murray. All right.
Yeah, I really like that song.
Right.
That was my wife's favorite. So.
Wow. All right. Yeah. No, that's all right. I have an Ann Murray guilty pleasure too. Now that I think about it, and it was actually she redid a Beatles song. I'm Happy Just to Dance with You, and I thought she did a wonderful job of it.
Oh yeah, she put on a good concert. I saw her several times in concert. She did a good concert too, but.
Yeah, she was going to be a hit in Canada regardless because of the CanCon requirements, but considering how well she did in the States, it's a testament to the fact that she really could entertain and sing.
She used to come down to the 1925 Rialto Theater in Joliet, Illinois.
Oh, that's great.
And this is beautiful, beautiful old theater. And she would come there and put a concert on, and we had some connections, so we actually got seats in the front of the orchestra pit.
Oh, all right.
Well, I mean, like, she was spitting on you. She was
wow, all right.
But, yeah. Well, I got a guess for that happened in 1898 on the radio.
Good, let's hear it.
Is the station using their call letters?
No, and that's why I say not radio as we know it. So don't think of it as a radio station. It was a broadcast, and it was certainly heard that way, but it predates stations, if you will. So that hint may actually throw you rather than help you. But it is something you do hear on radio stations today all the time. Not every station, but some. And some people flock to it. Other people just turn off the radio. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you, and have a good week.
All right, you too, and thanks for calling.
Okay.
All right. So Bruce is sounding good. That's excellent news. We're going to get to Lisa in 1930s movies. In fact, I had just looked up a question, but John came in because he knows all and sees all when it comes to the movies, or at least a lot more than me, but that might be anybody. But nonetheless, he has a great question for her, so I will be asking that. And let's see. We'll also get to Jan from Dallas, who's got a guess on our trivia questions. And we got our first bumper stumper coming up in moments right here on WGN Radio.
21 drums on a whole bass horn, and somebody beating on a ding dong.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. All right, who is that? And absolutely, at the time it was a hit, and you'll not know what the theme is yet, but you might know the song from 1955 on OK. All right, so Lisa is in Dundee. We're playing Monday Night Trivia, by the way, so if this is Friday night, please sit back, relax, enjoy the show, and don't call. If it's Monday night, on the other hand, yeah, 888-876-5593. And with that in mind, I'll again review both questions before we get on to Lisa, who wants 1930s movie trivia, and I can do that. All right, if you have a category, you know something about something, everybody does, request your category. On the other hand, I've got two, count them, two stragglers out there right now. And the first one is, in the last several decades, everybody's heard about women's accomplishments and all that. And, well, the first time a woman did this was the early 1930s. And the second one didn't come along until last year. It is a job. What's the job? All right, so that's one. And the other is, you're undoubtedly familiar with this. You hear it all the time. Many seek it out. Just as many don't care. You hear it on the radio all the time, I should say. Not every station, just some. But the first time anyone heard it was the late 1890s. What is it? All right, so be somewhat specific, but I don't expect you to be completely specific. We'll see. I'll judge your answer as we go along. Now, with that in mind, let's welcome Lisa from Dundee. How's it going, Lisa?
Oh, great. How are you?
I can't complain.
I'm a little nervous now that you've allowed John to pick the question.
Yes, yes, because he knows this kind of stuff, not me. All right. Although, interestingly, I knew who she was, and John only knew recently, but of course, I know all those old denizens of old Hollywood. All right, so interestingly, her first big movie came in 1936, and she was a teenager. By the time she was 21 in the early 40s, she was the highest paid actress in the world. So 1936 as a teenager. Who is she?
36 as a teenager.
Yeah.
And by 1940, what?
Yeah, the early 40s, when she was 21 years old, so it would have been 1942.
Oh, 21.
Yeah,
she
was 21.
She was the highest paid
actress in the world.
In the world.
Yeah.
Teenager, and she was an actress as a teenager.
Yes, absolutely. And she had been somewhat of an actress as a child, but not a big deal that would have mattered. But by 1935, she was coming about. And in 1936, at 14 years old, and that's when they gave her her name. of course, they always did that in Hollywood. You'll be so-and-so.
Right, yeah.
So anyway, the big movie, and it established her as a young star. And then by 1942, she was the highest paid actress in the world.
Well, I don't think this is right, but I'm going to say Elizabeth Taylor.
Not Elizabeth Taylor. She was also considered for the part of Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz.
Oh, I know that. Shirley Temple.
No.
No?
In fact, she's
I think Shirley Temple was at one point.
She's the person who displaced Shirley Temple's record. So she was bigger than Shirley Temple. I think I got to give you one of the movies, huh?
Maybe.
Okay, the first feature-length film in 1936 that really put her on the map was Three Smart Girls.
No.
And then she was in a succession of musical films, 100 Men and a Girl, Mad About Music, That Certain Age, Three Smart Girls Grow Up, and First Love, most of which were directed by Henry Koster.
So she was a singer and a dancer. Well, then maybe Judy Garland?
Nope. Oh, this is great, and it's so funny. I guess a lot of people don't. I don't know why I know her, other than, like I say, I was always, you know, growing up in L.A. and stuff, a fan of these old, you know, stars of the 20s, 30s,
yeah.
40s. Yeah, and she was one that I thought everybody knew, and John had said, you know, I didn't know about her originally. That she was from Winnipeg, if that helps.
From Canada?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. No, that doesn't help me.
And
what
her,
about initials?
Well, I'll just say her first appearance was with Judy Garland in Every Sunday.
Her first appearance.
So she would have been 13.
Stop, baby. So she had first she had a name, and then when she got popular, she changed her name.
Well,
is that what you're saying?
People would only know her by the name they gave her. They would not know her given name. I'm positive, yes. At least I shouldn't say I'm positive. I don't know. I didn't talk to anybody in 1935 to check it, but I believe that. And she didn't die till about 10 years ago now in Paris, actually. But her given first name was Edna, but believe me, they didn't use it.
No, I can imagine not.
Yeah.
Boy, this is a stumper. Thanks a lot, John.
Okay, yeah. Initials DD.
D?
D, yes.
D.
Oh, and she was so big.
Isn't that something? Why am I drawing such a blank? And you say she was up at some point for Judy Garland's role in Wizard of Oz?
Yeah. And she actually, in 35, was in Every Sunday with Judy Garland. So, yeah. Let's see what.
Wow.
She got an she got an Academy Juvenile Award with Mickey Rooney, and
I swear that's Judy Garland.
You give up?
No, I want it.
Okay, well, by 1946, she was the second highest paid actress in the world, just behind Betty Davis. But she was first in 42.
D.D. and. It's funny. The only DD I can think of is Dorothy Dandridge.
Dandridge. She's on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. You can see her right there at 722 Vine Street.
Was she married a lot, or?
Oh hell, I don't know. That's interesting. I don't know that. So it must not have been anything flagrant, or that would have been the kind of gossip.
And she did movies all along then.
Well, yeah, she actually after the. After the 40s, I don't think she did anything. I think that, she probably, I'd say the 40s was it for her. And she retired and moved to Paris. In fact, Joe Pasternak, the producer at the time, tried to dissuade her. And she said to him, I can't run around being a little Miss Fix-It-All who bursts into song, the highest paid star with the poorest material. Forget it.
Oh, my gosh. You're going to have to tell me, but I love this question.
It is Deanna Durbin.
Oh, Deanna Durbin. Yeah, that I never would have guessed.
And she was so big.
Yeah, she was. You're right.
Yeah.
But I never heard that she was up for Wizard of Oz. That's why I said Shirley Temple right away. But, yeah, Deanna Durbin, I can picture. And I didn't think of her going to France either.
Yeah, that's what she did. She had some fairly brief first marriage and then got divorced and, you know, didn't want to stay around and didn't like the acting thing. And like in 1950, she married some French guy. But again, no good U.S. gossip on her.
All right. Well, I'm going to try again next year.
All right.
I'm gonna, next year.
Yeah.
Next week.
I'm counting on it. All right.
Okay.
Yeah, thanks
take
a lot.
Care.
Appreciate it. All right. So we'll pick it up right there with you right here, Monday Night Trivia on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. All right, who is that? You want a hint? He wrote Abraham, Martin, and John. I'm not making that up. All right, so, well, who is it? 888-876-5593. And the prizes aren't worth cheating, so please don't. All right, so, yeah, God knows that's true. All right, so we have a question at hand. Two stragglers. And the first one was, in the last several decades, you hear all about women's accomplishments and milestones. The first time a woman did this was the early 1930s. She did it for a job, but the second one didn't come along until last year. Yeah, so obviously her co-workers were not pleased that there was a woman on the scene. So what was it? Did it in the early 30s and then not again until last year. And I don't know about since then. Truth be known, I've not looked it up to find out. So that's one. The other one, you're undoubtedly familiar with this. You hear it on the radio all the time. But the first time anyone heard it was the late 1800s. And I want to know, what is it? And you don't have to be specific to the point of telling me the actual thing, but you certainly have to know the category of thing. All right, that'll confuse you. And apologies for that in advance. If you don't know my bumpers, and you don't know my trivia questions, and you want your own category, well, that's just fine. You pick it out. No matter what it is, there's something for everyone right here, and we'll prove it. All right, Leah's in Marcus Hook. How's it going, Leah?
Good. How's it with you?
I can't complain.
Oh, that's good. You know, poor Lisa, I always try and help her telepathically, you know, when I know the answer, I'm like screaming at the phone.
Ah,
so I knew it was Deanna Durbin, and I'm like, as soon as I heard DD, I'm like, Deanna Durbin!
Yeah, and no one thinks about her, of course, because she just dropped out at the end of the 40s, never did another thing. And so, you know, but boy, she was huge in the early 40s and the late 30s, that's for sure.
Yeah, she was huge.
All right, so you like movie musicals. Well,
yes.
As you know, composer Richard Rodgers and lyricist Lawrence Hart teamed up for several Broadway musicals, and there was actually a movie about their partnership, and in fact, Mickey Rooney starred as Lawrence Hart, 1943. What was the name of the movie?
I have seen it several times, and I'm trying to think of the name.
Yeah, because Hart was, he was an alcoholic, to say the least.
Right. And was it called I Could Go On Singing?
No, but I don't want to say you're in the right arena, because that may confuse the hell out of you, but I think you are.
Okay. Oh. I know there was one called that about it. I'm not going to come up with it.
Words and Music.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yes, yes, the Rogers and Hart partnership. Fictionalized somewhat, but Mickey Rooney was a good Hart in that.
Yeah. So that was a good movie. I've seen it several times.
Yeah. All right, good deal. We'll talk to you next week, or probably before
that.
Thanks,
Raleigh.
Thanks. Appreciate it. Bye. All right, so 888-876-5593 would be 8888-Raleigh. And that is going to take us to Jan in Dallas. How's it going, Jan?
Oh, fine. My guess is the temperature.
Oh, that's interesting. That's not right, but it's interesting.
And it wouldn't be the time, I don't think.
No, it isn't the time either, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that'll do it for me. I enjoyed the music.
Oh, good. Thanks for calling.
Okay.
Appreciate it. All right, so, time and temp. All right, no. So, you don't hear this on all stations, just some stations, but you hear a lot of it. All right. And I hate doing this because I'm afraid I'm gonna get you from bad to worse. But Jimmy P. on the south side knows a bumper. All right, Jimmy P.
Hey, Dave, Raleigh, how you doing?
All right, how about yourself?
Good. I think I got a double shot of my your bumpers.
Okay.
Swinging Medallions.
No.
No.
No, this is the original. This is from 1963 on the Comet label.
How about Big Maybelle.
Yes, Big Maybelle, whole lot of shaking going on.
One.
Yes,
hey,
absolutely.
Like Meatloaf said, one out of two ain't bad.
That's
huh?
Absolutely right. Yes, 1955 on OK.
But listen, if you got time, Jerry Butler's birthday is Friday.
Okay.
And I know you can't play, but I'm going to give you a six-pack of requests.
Okay.
And two of them would be by Jerry Butler.
What are they?
One is Only the Strong Survive.
Okay.
And Never Gonna Give You Up.
Okay.
Number three is Blue Magic. Blue Magic. I can't think. Sideshow.
Sideshow. What a wonderful song.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Gene Pitney, Just One Smile.
Oh, yes.
And the original Singing the Bells.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
How many is that?
That is four.
All right.
Oh, wait,
four,
five. I'm sorry, that's five. One, two, three, four, five. Yes, five.
One, four. And how about a song by the Temptations, A Love I Can't See?
Oh, good choice.
Did you ever hear that one?
Oh, of course.
They don't play it too much, but...
No, I play it on KJ a lot. It's a great record.
Oh, All right. Thanks, Raleigh. I jumped in when I had the chance to call.
Wonderful choices. And since it's Jerry Butler's birthday, I'll play my favorite, too, which is Mr. Dream Merchant.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, thanks.
Thanks for all you're doing for me and everybody else.
Oh, my pleasure. All right, so I will move some stuff around because I was planning for the rest of the week in advance, and that is always a bad thing. So we will get Jimmy P's request on because that'll be better. So John needs to add to Jimmy P's stash because he was absolutely right. We played Big Maybelle, whole lot of shaking going on, 1955 on OK, but that was not the double shot at all. So 888-876-5593, 8888-Raleigh. Oh, we're going to do some lyrics with Fran. From 1964. Oh, so many good choices. Barry in New Hampshire, we're back to the Beatles. And Bob in Willowbrook. Oh, he's got a guess on our trivia question. Well, one of them anyway. So let's find out. All right, Bob, what do you think?
Good evening, Raleigh. Yes, as to Straggler number two, something heard the first time on the radio in the 1890s.
Yes.
Sports scores.
No, but you're in the right arena.
A sports broadcast.
Be a little more specific. You can do this.
Football game.
No. Don't worry about the sport. Worry about the broadcast. What are they doing?
Play-by-play.
Yes, absolutely right. That was the first play-by-play. And if you're wondering, it was the Irish Regatta. And it was shortwave radio.
Yeah.
So, yes. Marconi broadcast a play-by-play of the Irish Regatta over shortwave radio.
Here I was thinking it might have been the Army-Navy game.
No, yeah, right, exactly. No, it was just Marconi, I guess, proving that his medium worked, kind of, at the time. So, yes, I'll give it to you. Good enough.
Okay.
All right, hang on. Don't go away. All right, so absolutely right. The first play-by-play, and it was the Irish Regatta. It was spellbinding, I'm sure. Hey, it could have been worse. It could have been golf. 888-876-5593. We'll get those lyrics. We'll get those Beatles. And Ruth and Gurney, wants cornucopia trivia? Well, why not? On WGN Radio.
big fine car. You don't look like a movie star. On your money you won't get far. But baby, you've got what it takes to make this whole hot round. Got what it takes to keep me hanging around. Whoa, 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 and whoa, whoa. You've got what it takes for me. You don't live in a beautiful place. Don't dress in the best of taste. Nature didn't give you a pretty face. But baby, you've got what it takes to keep me satisfied. You thrill my soul deep down inside. Whoa, 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 and whoa, whoa. You've got what it takes for me. And when you're near me, kiss me, baby. Ooh, wee, my love come tumbling down. You don't drive a big fine car. You don't look like a movie star. On your money, you won't get far. But, baby, you've got what it takes to make this whole heart pound. Got what it takes to keep me hanging around.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. All right, so who is that? All right, and there's a story behind it, too. Maybe we'll tell it later. Hard to say. But if you have any idea what the theme is, that should be coming apparent soon, as well as who is this? He was on BJ in 1957, in case you were wondering. All right, so we still have one question out there since we got our play-by-play. Yes, first broadcast play-by-play was the Irish Regatta. All right, now we have, in the last several decades, you're always hearing about women's accomplishments, milestones. Well, the first time a woman did this was the early 1930s, but you might not have heard of it since the second time a woman did this was last year. And it is a job. And obviously, if it took that long to hire another one, there were coworkers who were not pleased, to say the least. So what is it? All right, what's the job? All right, 888-876-5593, 8888-RALEIGH. So I believe we're going to do some song lyrics with Fran. How's it going, Fran?
Oh, pretty good. I think I know the theme. Should I try to guess that or just go ahead and do the lyrics?
Oh, we can do them both. What do you think the theme is?
I think it's remakes.
Well, you have to say it the other way. They're not remakes.
I mean, they're hit songs that have been remade?
No.
Or done by other artists?
No. Oh, man. See, you're dancing around this, but absolutely not.
Originals?
Yes.
Ah, okay. I really, you said the other way around. Okay, now I get it. Okay.
Yes, yes. Everything we're playing is the original recording of a song that was a hit by someone else.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, I thought they were okay.
So Big Maybell, whole lot of shaking going on. Obviously, Jerry Lee Lewis made that a hit.
Right.
As far as Double Shot, that was Dick Holler and the Holidays. And I thought maybe since I gave out that Dick Holler wrote Abraham, Martin, and John, somebody might remember him. He also, oh man, he was the guy responsible for Snoopy and the Red Baron.
Help.
Yeah, well, it was Gernhardt. I'm trying to think of Gernhardt's first name now, a guy from Ocala. But he's the one who convinced Dick Holler, because Holler had written it, that, oh, there's a way we can do this. And they did. So, yeah, that's Dick Holler. And this, You Got What It Takes, 1957 on BJ. Maybe someone will guess it. All right. So we're going to do lyrics, and you want 1964 lyrics.
Yes.
Wear your wig hat on your head.
High heel sneakers.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Sneakers, yeah. Yes. I was trying to think, okay, is there another name? No, that's it.
yeah. Tommy Tucker high heel sneakers. Absolutely. Wear your wig hat on your head.
yeah.
Yeah, put on your high heel sneakers. Don't you know you're going to knock them dead? Oh, yeah, these are
that's right.
inspirational lyrics all the way around, yeah. All right. yeah, you're absolutely right. As usual, you are a winner.
All right,
good deal. Hang on, don't go away. All right, we'll confirm that address, though I probably don't have to say that because John probably has that all over the place, but nonetheless, we'll do that. All right, now you know the theme, and the theme is these are the originals. And so, yes, you heard the original Double Shot from 1963 on Comet. Like I said, I gave that away because nobody's going to call in and say, but you got what it takes. I'm hopeful. Maybe I'm the eternal optimist. It's hard to say, but I'm hopeful. We'll have eight more that maybe you'll guess. And then right after the news, we'll have Barry's Beatles trivia and Ruth's cornucopia trivia. There's a category we haven't had. But, you know, that's the deal. If you don't know my trivia questions and you don't know the bumper stumpers and you want your own category to strut your stuff, well, just tell me what you know a lot about and we'll find a question for you. And as I say, sky is the absolute limit. And we prove that when we have topics like hominins. And yes, that's Johnny D's favorite. So everybody knows something about something. Abbreviated shows tomorrow night. We start an hour late. And Thursday night, we start an hour late due to the Blackhawks. But other than that, full show Wednesday and 2 hours each on Tuesday and Thursday night. So we'll have a lot of time to get together to talk about an entire variety of things coming up. So I'll be ready for that. And of course, at any point, you can share your guilty pleasures, those records that you are embarrassed to admit that you just love them. Yeah, that's what, yeah, you don't want anybody else to know that you like Treat Him Nicely by Annette. Okay, maybe that's an overreach. We'll find out what you like. All it has to be is a hit. Coming up on WGN Radio.
Hearts made of stone. Well, the love you have for them, they're just a one take. You can ask them, please, 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 please pray. And all of your love is that has changed. Yes, heart and stone will cause you pain. Although you love them, they're stone.
Radio. I'm Riley James. Monday night trivia. So if it's Friday night, sit back, relax, enjoy the show, don't call. But if it's Monday night, well, we need you. 888-876-5593. And they are all originals. That's the theme, and Fran got it. So everyone we're playing was a hit by somebody else later. And in this case, of course, later was the Charms. Right. But this was the original. And the guy from the group wrote it. So what... Who did the original Heart of Stones? That's your bumper stumper. Now, that said, we have a straggler, and that is, in the last several decades, you hear all about women's accomplishments and milestones. Well, the first time a woman ever did this was the early 1930s. The second one didn't come along until last year, so you can imagine the first one's co-workers were fit to be tied. I'll tell you what. So what is it? It was a job that this woman did in the early 30s, and no woman ever did it again until last year. So be specific about what that is. So that's the straggler. Now, if you don't know my stragglers, and or the question that I've thrown out at the moment, if it's not a straggler, and you don't know my bumper stumpers, well, all is not lost because everybody knows something about something. You can have your own question. But John wanted me to clarify what that means. And it never even occurred to me that you might think this. if someone asks a personal question, you know, they say, hey, I know something about musicals from the 30s, and I give them a question, that question is not open to you, just the person who's asked for the question. And the same thing would be true of you. We want you to call and tell us what category you want. We'll find a question that's just for you, and anybody listening won't have the ability to answer it. We won't do it that way. So that's the deal on the personal questions. They are just that, personal questions. And everybody knows something about something. And we're going to prove it right now because Ruth is in Gurnee. So hello, Ruth. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi, good evening. This is James. You know what John said, that what's a cornucopia? And I laughed because a couple of years ago I gave one to the pastor of Great America with Christmas decorations, Thanksgiving, and a chocolate lamb in foil from Poland. And he said, what's a cornucopia? Ugh. But I wanted to make one comment about Deanna Durbin.
Yeah.
She was requested by her Frenchman's Greek, who she had fallen in love with, not to have anything to do with movies or singing. What a voice she had.
Yeah.
What an incredible voice. Between her and Jeanette McDonald, it was heaven on earth. Well, she gave up all the things associated with California, Hollywood, and there was a reporter who for years tried to interview her and would go to the Paris location, which was heavily guarded with fencing, and he could never get through, and then she passed away, and mm-hmm. I don't know if he finally did at the very end get anything other than her well wishes or whatever, but
yeah.
That was what happened with her enormous income, and she gave it all up to follow her heart.
That's
the guy she loved.
That's partly true. I would agree with that, but believe me, she had already soured on Hollywood. And after that first marriage broke up, what she was most ticked about was she didn't like the roles she was getting and all that. So she wanted to get out of that. In fact, she tried to get out of the last contract, and they held her to it. So she had to do like two more movies before they'd let her go. So, yeah, the guy really wanted her to stop. But trust me, she wanted to stop.
Well, that's extra. I'm glad to hear something more about it, because it became, her life became very secretive and secluded.
No, she, in fact,
I also want to mention
she
one
did,
thing more
I was going to say, she did not want to be known as Deanna Durbin. She said that was a construct of Hollywood. That's not her. So, yeah, she was.
I'd like to know what her karma was, because as far as I can think, she was blessed.
Yeah.
She had an incredible voice and talent as an actress, and she, to get to that particular location, and then to what she did for love, even though the original status was she had it with Hollywood, that was really a one smart lady in the long run, because she didn't get trapped into what so many of the other ones did while being in Hollywood. One other real quick statement I want to make is almost 3 weeks ago, I requested to buy a raffle ticket from St. Gilbert's Parish in Grays Lake. And I had no way to get there and do not do computers. And I thought, well, I'll try to find an alternative. But they insisted that they would put it in the computer and see if someone would come and get the tickets to me, and I would give them the $100 that I wanted to give for that many tickets. Have not heard from anyone in 3 weeks. And I would think, when my brother said, you mean one of those church ladies couldn't get you a $100 St. Patrick Wadsworth raffle ticket? Well, same old, same old. I cannot walk. Almost 7 months I have not been in my wheelchair. And I want to buy the raffle tickets because... You know, you never know.
Well, good luck.
I have specific ideas what the winnings would go for. The same thing that raffle tickets, Patriotic Quilt out of St. Paul, Gurnee.
All right. All I can say is call them back.
Worth of toys bought for kids. Okay, go back to your cornucopia.
All right. All right, there are two Greek legends about how the Horn of Plenty came about. Now, one involves a mortal king's daughters as nursemaids and a she-goat. The other one, who is the other one about?
Yes, you're right. It is mythology. And
yeah.
I thought it was something Roman.
Well, it's Greek, actually, but that's all right.
Okay.
Who is it?
No, I can't read. Zeus. Zeus.
No, it's Heracles broke the horn off an advisory during a fight over a beautiful maiden. Hercules. Hercules won and got the girl.
Well, I Hercules, do just Hercules. Come to Cornucopias for all throughout the year.
Yeah.
My Halloween Cornucopia was spectacular. And I just have all kinds of unique ideas. So it doesn't necessarily have to be associated with Thanksgiving, although
I think
it's an absolutely wonderful tradition that so many people are familiar with that Thanksgiving tradition of the cornucopia.
I'm going to give you another question.
It's legendary.
All right. I'm giving you one more question to try and redeem yourself since you know all about these cornucopias. You ready?
Okay, go ahead.
All right. The St. Louis World's Fair in 1904 had a food item known as the cornucopia. What was it?
Elephant ears.
No, it was a waffle cone named for its clump.
Waffle cone. Yeah, you're right.
All right. Well, I tried. We'll talk to you next week. Okay, thanks.
The Grace Lake Library told me that, but I tried for 2 weeks. I thought you weren't on the air last Monday.
Oh, yeah, it was
so
for a half hour.
I kind of forgot about that. Yeah, it was a waffle cone. Good question, though.
All right, good deal. Thanks.
Thank
appreciate
you,
it. All right, so good deal. So, yeah, Heracles or Hercules, depending upon who's saying it, same guy, obviously. But that was the other myth, and he broke the horn during a fight over a maiden, and Hercules won, got the girl. And the water nymphs treated the horn as a sacred object, filling it with fragrant flowers. All right, so those are the myths. As far as the two kings' daughters and the goat, I don't know what to tell you. Now, 888-87, there are some things I don't bother to read. 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh. Dave in LaSalle knows a bumper. What'd you hear you know, Dave?
You were talking about the song You Got What It Takes. The versions I remember in the late 50s, two of them. One was Brooke Benton and Dinah Washington, but the version I remember, I believe, was the hit, was by Marv Johnson.
Yeah, that's not it. Marv Johnson did cover it, but the original was Bobby Parker on VJ. And this is an interesting...
How early was that?
It was 57.
Okay, and I'm looking at like 58.
Yep. Well, here's the interesting thing. Bobby Parker wrote this record, and if you look at the VJ label, you'll see he's credited. When Marv Johnson, which Berry Gordy produced, came out, suddenly, no Bobby Parker nowhere. He did not get the writer's credit. And to this day, I've wondered, whatever happened to that? Because I've never heard that he got what was due him, because Marv Johnson had the hit, Bobby Parker wrote it, but you'd never know it if Berry Gordy was telling it.
Is that the same? Well, I think it's Robert Parker did Barefoot.
Yeah, absolutely not the same person.
It's not. Okay, you
no.
said Bobby.
Yeah.
The other guy, Robert.
No. That was 10 years later. No. Well,
yeah,
8 years
okay.
later. All right.
That was a good... Okay, I have one song I'd like to run by you that...
Yeah.
Well, you're going to know it. If I give you... Either I'll give you the title or the artist, but I think if I gave you the title, you will know the artist, but I doubt many people know of her. It's a nice song, one of my favorites, called Love Letters Straight from Your Heart.
Oh, Kenny Lester.
Yeah, absolutely, and I don't know how many people know that. I don't remember having many hits, but
that was her big hit, and it was Ketty K E T T Y, not Kitty K I T T Y. Yes,
no,
Kenny Lester.
Kitty, yeah.
Yep.
And if I ever heard a song that was made for an artist, and she does such a nice job.
You're absolutely right. Well, I'll write it down and try to play it for you this week. Not tonight. Not tonight, obviously, but I'll try to.
Yeah, you'll play it. So I tune you in all the time.
All right.
Really
good
nice
deal.
Talking to you.
Likewise. Thanks, Dave. Appreciate it.
Okay, bye.
All right, so 888-876-5593 is 8888-Raleigh. And what do we have? Oh, Barry and his Beatles, of course. Hello, Barry. Welcome back to WGN.
Hey, Raleigh.
All right, so we have quite the obscure Beatles question for you. And
okay.
Yeah, you'll I liked it anyway. In 2008, there was a topiary tribute to the Beatles unveiled in Liverpool. But because of what one of the Beatles said, they cut his head off. What Beatle?
John Lennon?
Nope, Ringo Starr. And his leafy head was cut off because he said he missed nothing about his hometown.
Oh, wow.
So you'll have to look that up, see if the topiary is still there and whether Ringo grew a new head.
Well, you got me again.
All right, good. I'm glad, you know, I consider it quite the accomplishment because I rarely do, but we'll talk to you next week.
Okay, Raleigh.
All right, good deal. Thanks. 888-876-5593 would be 8888 Raleigh. Oh, we're going to do some radio trivia with Gary and Austin. And let's see. Johnny D, of course, wants hominin. And it says something else that I can't read. So I'm sorry. No matter how close I lean, I don't see that part. But he'll tell me. And you will too. Because remember, if you don't know my trivia question, I admit it's out there. And by the way, next hour I'll reveal it if you don't get it. But it was the first time a woman was hired to do it was the 30s. And this created such a stir, they didn't hire another woman to do it until last year. Do what? And so there's your question there. But again, if you know something about something, by all means, call in and request a category. But if it wasn't you calling for the category, no, you can't answer it. You call for your own category. That's the way that'll work. We got something for everybody and another bumper stumper coming up in moments here on WGN Radio. Mustang.
Put your big feet on the ground. All you wanna do is ride around, baby. Just
ride, Sally, ride.
All you wanna do is ride around, baby. Just
ride, Sally, ride.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Yeah, Wilson Pickett, eat your heart out. That's the original. Who is it? I already wrote it, too. You know, the first cover of that, though, wasn't Wilson Pickett. Oh, that obviously was the big hit. But the first cover was the Young Rascals, yeah, in 66. But in 65, it was this guy who wrote it and recorded. Who is he? 888-876-5593-8888 Raleigh. All right, so we're going to go to Gary in Austin. How's it going tonight, Gary?
Well, hey, Raleigh, I like a lot of these early original versions of these songs. They're pretty cool to hear.
Yeah, and you know, it's a real shame because some of them I hear the originals, and like I remember the first time I heard Devil with the Blue Dress, the Shorty Long version, I said, oh my God, what a wonderful song. You know, it's like, couldn't stand the Mitch Ryder thing, but so that happens.
Yeah, I didn't even know that existed until the early 2000s.
Oh, really?
I found it on a website, and I got to hear this. And, oh, man, what a great song.
It was a great song. Should have been a hit.
I've got it on several devices. But I also have a guess for the trivia question.
All right.
Which just came to mind, a professional football, or not football, but sports coach.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, you're in the right world, but wrong item. So think about this and narrow that down a lot.
Let's see, it wouldn't be a trainer.
Nope.
A general manager, sports team general manager.
Nope. Like poor Georgia Frontieri. Oh, my God. when her husband died away, and Carol Rosenblum, and she wound up owning the Rams. Oh, dear. But no.
what's her name that owned the Cincinnati Rams?
Oh, Marge. Marge had a wonderful St. Bernard. So Shotzi. Yes. Yeah.
Man, I don't know. I was so close, but so far.
Yes, yes, really. Exactly. I think about it and call me back with tons of guesses.
Yeah, I will.
All right. So we want to do radio questions.
Radio trivia, sure.
Well, you know, in the 60s, of course, top 40 stations had to carry the news. It was kind of an FCC requirement. All right. So what I want to know, of course, you remember they tried to put sound effects on it and everything else. And, of course, probably the most familiar to any of us would be, CKLW's 2020 News. All right.
Sure.
So what I want to know is, what did WFUN call their news?
Oh, it wasn't Action Central News, because a lot of stations that sounded like that had Action Central News.
I'm going to let you think about it. Don't go away. Stay right where you are. And I think he'll come up with it if he thinks hard enough, and maybe he'll come up with some more on our straggler question. But right now, we'll come up with the news, or WGN will, anyway, on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and you thought it was Betty Everett. Well, not the original. It's In His Kiss. Who is that? 888-876-5593 on Monday Night Trivia on WGN Radio. And it is Monday night, so if it's Friday night, sit back, relax, enjoy the show. If it's Monday Night Call, we have a straggler question. I'll go over that again. We got plenty of bumper stumpers. They're all the original versions of hits that people later made. So we're talking with Gary in Austin, and we gave him a full 5 minutes. We're talking about the top 40 radio back in the day in the 50s and 60s. They were required to run the news whether they wanted to or not. And over the years, a number of people did a lot of creative things. Of course, CKLW 2020, or as Gary mentioned, Action Central, WABC, among others, used that. But what I wanted to know was what WFUN used.
I think it's Fundamental News.
Absolutely right. That was it. Fundamental News. Yes, and they were the only people who could actually use that well, since their call letters, of course, were WFUN. So, yes, we have a winner.
All right. And I think the other one may be a play-by-play broadcaster, possibly, maybe.
Oh, that's nice. It's not right, but that's nice.
Oh, okay. Well,
all right.
But
you knew fundamental news. I knew if you thought about that long enough, you would absolutely know.
I've heard air checks of them, and I knew that I'd heard it. I knew that if I you know, maybe I got a telepathic communication.
Yeah, no, it was the early days. They later switched to 2020 like a number of other stations.
Yeah.
But in the early days, it was absolutely fundamental news. Yeah. All right. So I know that we have your address. So I'll just have John add to your stash. Thank you.
Okay, great. Thanks
a lot.
All right,
good deal. So there you have it. Yes, fundamental news. But yeah, news was a requirement. And back in the day, of course, Top 40 stations were trying to act like they really did serve the public's interest and convenience and necessity, even though a lot of naysayers felt they didn't at all. So that was one of the commitments that they all had. But, you know, sound effects and other things were used to spice it up a little, shall we say. All right. So we got some bumper guesses here. Let's see what Jimmy P. heard that he knows. All right. Jimmy P. is back.
Hey, Riley. I'm pretty sure about this one. Betty Everett?
No, she did not do the...
Somebody sang it before her?
Yes, she did not do the original. The original came out in 1963 on Capitol.
Oh, God, Betty Everett. And then Cher copied Betty Everett then.
Yes.
Remember Cher?
Yes, absolutely. It was Cher copying Betty Everett. Yes, but this gal, the original singer, she was originally from New Orleans, but she was also in the Blossoms. I don't know how much she sang with them, but they convinced her that she needed to try something. So she became a background singer, and she backed up everybody from Pearl Bailey to Phil Oakes, you name it.
Oh,
and
is she, would I know her if, you know?
I don't know if you would. I knew her. She did a duet with Mick Jagger in the 60s.
Oh, well, I wasn't following Mick Jagger back then.
Yeah, well, who would be? I'm just trying to think about what she would have done. And she got that gig with the Rolling Stones because apparently they asked Bonnie Bramlett and her husband wouldn't let her. So
all right.
They hired this one. All right, well, good deal. Thanks.
Okay,
appreciate
I'll try again.
All right, good deal. Yeah, and I'll reveal all the bumper numbers, too. And if we run out of time and that happens, you know, it's always on Rolly.net, Rolly.net. All right, now John of Waukegan has a bumper guess. All right, get down with your bad self. So, John, what'd you hear you know?
Is it in your kiss? I think that's Gloria Gaynor.
Nope, it is not Gloria Gaynor.
Okay, bye.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it. All right, so nope. Nobody who you would necessarily know, again, in any big way, but she did a lot of gospel, too, actually. In fact, I think she later went and did gospel again. But she's done a number of things, none that I would say were, you know, huge as far as that goes on the charts or anything like that. But she was in a bad car accident about 10 years ago, and it was terrible. She lost both of her legs in that accident, and I think they were amputated at the knee or something. It was not good, and that's the last I had heard, but what a horrendous story. All right, so 888-876-5593 is 8888-Raleigh, and Laura in Willowbrook is going to take a guess. What do you think, Laura?
Hi, Raleigh. Just to make sure I answer this right, could you give me the question again?
Yeah, in the last several decades, you hear about women's accomplishments and milestones. Well, the first time a woman did this was the early 1930s. The second one didn't come along until last year. It's a job, and obviously her coworkers weren't too pleased. What is it?
Okay, well, I've got two guesses.
All right.
Got to be a female jockey.
It is not.
Female umpire.
It is not.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought for sure it was one of those two.
Well, those are nice guesses.
Rare.
Yes.
All right, thank you.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it. All right, so 888-876-5593 would be 8888-Raleigh. And that takes us to Johnny D. in Ohio. Hey, Johnny D., welcome back to WGN.
Well, thank you, Raleigh. How you doing tonight?
I can't complain.
Good. Don't call yourself an idiot.
Yeah.
I was going to say, no. Hey, how you doing, idiot?
Yeah, right. It's probably just deserved more often than not.
No. You're too smart to be an idiot. But anyhow, no, I was going to say also, a woman referee. Is it a woman referee?
Nope.
All right. Because they got them now in football, you know.
Mm-hmm. Nope.
Okay, and then, or how about a rodeo clown?
I love that. That's not right, but that brings to mind a great picture. You know, this visual image is wonderful on that, but no.
Well, I was thinking, what kind of thing would only be dominated by men? I'm thinking,
yeah, yeah, and obviously the men were not too pleased.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know if there are women rodeo clowns. You think there are?
I don't know. I'll look it up. We'll see. The only rodeo clown I know is Bandy. It was a song. Okay. rodeo clowns, women. All right, let's see. Why not, I guess. Clown costume women. We got a picture of them. But the first female rodeo clown. All right. We have a book on it. Someone wrote a book on this? Yeah, I guess you can write a book on anything. But let's see. I've got a picture of her, actually. This is Dixie Mosley. And she realized early on that life wasn't like other kids her age. Well, I guess not. She was born in Buffalo, Oklahoma, settled in Amarillo, and spent the majority of her life traveling around the Northeastern. Her parents and her siblings were rodeo entertainers in Colonel Jim Eskew's Wild West show. So she started her career trick riding and trick roping, and then she started clowning, which she is famous for. So she still lives in Amarillo, and she apparently had her own, you know, get-up, a custom get-up made up for this deal.
Yeah.
And she said, for a while, we lived in a tent. Then all five of us lived in an 18-foot house trailer where the bed made into a table and the seats made into a bathtub and storage unit. Lovely. So she spent her life traveling from one rodeo to the next. And
What a life, huh?
Yeah, right. She went to school through a correspondence school, the Calvert Correspondence School, and she said it's still in operation today. You have 4 days of lessons. Tomorrow you might not have any because you're moving.
Was she a robust girl?
Yeah. Not really. I would say absolutely not. And there's a picture of her riding, and she was a trick rider. I mean, it's a wonder that this woman could walk after some of these stunts. But she was 5 years old when Colonel Eskew's son taught her how to trick rope and trick ride, and then she got into the family act on a Shetland pony. Tom Thumb was the pony, but eventually she got larger than Tom Thumb, not girth-wise, but just taller, I guess. So they had her train new horses, and that was the deal. So she divides her time now between entertaining and bullfighting.
Wow.
If there's a lull
in the action. Well, she's a real... Cowgirl.
Yeah, she says if there's a lull in the action from the shoot, you either tell a joke or do a silly routine to entertain. A bullfighter was there to distract the bull away from the guy who's trying to get away. So,
how about that?
Yeah. Yeah, no, she's... It's neat. So,
you ain't got too many women clowns or whatever.
She's still with us. Good for her.
Yeah, great for her. That's great.
Yeah.
Good way to go.
Yeah.
From being from Oklahoma. You was from Oklahoma?
Yeah, and then went to Amarillo, other than being at every rodeo in the damn world. She didn't, get summer vacations or whatever. She was just on the road. And
wasn't there a song about Amarillo?
Well, there's several, but one of them was actually a Neil Sedaka song in the 70s, but also the country song Amarillo by Morning.
Hello.
Yes, what are we doing?
Well, I didn't get the girl thing or woman thing, so I want to try a hominin, I guess, if you want.
All right. Well, I haven't picked out the perfect perfect hominin.
I don't want the perfect one. I want the unperfect.
The unperfect one. All right. All right. There's a multiple choice, of course. You like those.
Yeah.
The regional continuity model for the evolutionary of modern Homo sapiens suggests that A. Homo sapiens evolved from one subpopulation of Homo erectus, most likely living in Africa. B. Homo sapiens evolved from one subpopulation of Homo erectus, most likely living in Asia. C. The evolution of Homo erectus to Homo sapiens occurred gradually throughout the entire geographical range of the Homo erectus. D. The evolution of the Homo erectus to Homo sapiens occurred gradually, but was limited to populations living in Africa. E. Homo sapiens evolved first in Africa, but these populations exchanged genes with other archaic populations after they left Africa.
Well, okay.
Yeah.
Now, I'm almost positive that they, you know, came from Homo erectus and evolved into Homo sapiens in Africa. Okay? So, is that the question?
Well, yeah, except you got in Africa. Okay, in Africa. No. The evolution of Homo erectus to Homo sapiens occurred gradually throughout the entire geographical range of the Homo erectus.
What? That's what I was going to say.
No, the other one says...
It was either the first one or it was the last one.
It was neither. It was the one right in the middle.
All right, say it again what it was.
The evolution of Homo erectus to Homo sapiens occurred gradually throughout the entire geographical range of Homo erectus.
No.
Yeah, that's what it says.
Well,
you think that,
I thought the question was, in where did Homo erectus evolve into Homo sapiens?
No, we didn't say that. We didn't say that.
Well, I thought that's what you said.
We said the regional continuity model for the evolutionary modern Homo sapiens suggests that, and then we had A through E.
Well, I didn't understand the question.
All right.
I'm thinking where did Homo sapiens evolve from Homo erectus, and it was in Africa. That's what
but
I
But it's
thought.
Not.
So I didn't understand.
But that's
all
right. It was not in Africa. It was through the entire geographical
so
range.
The entire,
yes.
Wherever the hell Homo erectus was.
That's everywhere that Homo erectus were, Homo sapiens wound up. Yes. All right. Talk to you next week.
No, you won't, because...
Because you're going
to
sulk about your question?
Next week.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Well, my condolences.
Yeah, this generation is starting to go out.
Oh, geez.
Generation.
Yeah, well,
one of my cousins passed, and I got to be a pallbearer there.
My condolences on that. All right, well, we'll talk to you soon, I hope.
Thank you.
Okay.
Okay.
So that's where it is, and we will pick it up right there in moments right here on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Well, that's the original. We usually play J.M.O. Thomas. And, of course, Popcorn Wiley co-wrote that. But who is this? And, boy, talk about guy most unlikely. He's the original singer of I Spy for the FBI, and you would not know him in this vein, that's for sure. 888-876-5593 is 8888-Raleigh. And that is going to take us to Randy in Iowa. What do you think, Randy? Welcome back to WGN.
Well, good morning, or almost. Raleigh, yes. My old friend, how are you?
All right, how about yourself?
Well, good. I haven't talked to you since February when I was at the winter dance party in Clear Lake and your old buddy Kenny Vance performed.
Yes, absolutely. So what have you been doing?
Well, man, I've just been retired now and taking it easy. That's about it. I listen to you every chance I get. Almost, I catch you almost every night you're on, or otherwise I get you on your website.
That's great.
But I enjoy your program very much. I told Kenny to give you a call. You had you had told me that night to give you a call. And you know, one of the performers that night later was Chris, or earlier was Chris Montez.
Oh, of course, yes.
And he came out and got right in front of the stage there, and I talked to him afterwards. He said, "Wow." I said, "That Kenny Vance just blew me away, man." He goes, "That guy is something."
Yeah.
And put on a great show. And he's a friendly guy. He had an old original Jay and the Americans album. And a friend of mine said, "Hey, can you think you can get that signed?" And I took it up to him on the side. He comes out and talks to people and signs stuff. And he has merchandise. And he was awesome. He signed it. And that was it. It was a great show. So
Good.
And we'll see what happens this February. They just announced the lineup. They got some good things happening up there. So, anyway, I haven't called you in a while. In His Kiss, did anybody get that yet?
Nope.
I was going to say it's got to be the one and only Mary Clayton.
Absolutely right. Yes, it is. Yes. Mary Clayton. You betcha.
She's immortalized forever as the background singer of Gimme Shelter with the Rolling Stones.
Yes, because Delaney wouldn't let
Delaney Bramley,
let Bonnie do it. Yeah, that's it.
Now, I just saw the documentary for the second or third time.
Oh, wow.
20 Feet from Stardom.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, have you ever seen that?
No.
Oh, you would love it. It's phenomenal. It's about the background singers that made everybody else.
Yeah, no, I love that. I'm writing this down. I'm going to look for it.
Yeah, 20 Feet from Stardom, and a lot of it's about Mary.
Okay, great. No, well, she was wonderful. I'll tell you who later became a background singer. A lot of people didn't know it. Was Dodie Stevens, who did Tan Shoes, Pink Shoelaces.
Yeah, she's coming this year to the Winter Dance Party.
Is she really?
Yes.
Oh, that's great.
She's on the ticket.
Yeah.
But you know, the other thing I learned in that... You'll get a kick out of that 20 Feet from Stardom, and I'm sure you'll mention it on your show after you see it. But Mary had a brother, Sam, who was a great percussionist for the band Little Feet.
Yeah. By the way, I should mention for people listening on the streams, we're talking, but as far as on the air, we're not. WGN's in the news. All right, so go on.
Okay, so anyway, and the other thing I wanted to ask... you know, when you do a profile on an artist, you do a marvelous, marvelous job. Kudos. The night you did Johnny Rivers just blew me away.
Oh, yeah.
You just did a great job with that. And you do so often those things. But I've never heard you discuss Morris Levy.
Oh,
I wondered, did you ever know much about him?
Yeah, Moish, I knew a lot about Moish Levy. Yes, absolutely.
I just wondered if you'd cover that. Well,
you know,
our conversation go on the air after the news?
Well, no, it won't. But at some point, I've done him before, but at some point, I'll do him again. He was an interesting character, to say the least, and I loved the Pittsburgh connection, and of course, you know, all of his mobsters and all the deaths and all that. So, sure.
Yeah, and I became friends through the years with Tommy James, was one of the guys from my working, in the business. And
you know,
Tommy's got that. He had the book out by
right,
the mob,
exactly.
The
yes. No, I talked to him when he wrote that, and you know, I do not think before I told him that he understood what was going on in Pittsburgh.
Uh huh.
You know, and that was, I've talked about this on the air before. They had a deal where they would take records that were absolutely dead for a few years. They'd repress them on their own so they could sell them, and they'd pay the night guy at KQV to play them. And occasionally the artist would show up, and usually they just threatened their lives and they went away, like Sir Raggedy Flag. But in the case of Tommy James, he showed up. What I don't know to this day is why they didn't kill him, but they pretty much said, oh, yeah, you're a hit. You know, you got to get a band. And he didn't have a band. He got the band from the airport lounge or something. But it was obvious why they put him on Roulette. You know, that was not a big secret. Yeah. Yeah.
So. Oh, yeah. That's anyway. It's great. It's great talking to you, and I.
Likewise.
I appreciate your show and what you do very much.
Well, I'm delighted to hear from you, and I hope you'll call again soon.
I'll try to give you a call from the Winter Dance Party in February.
Excellent. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Raleigh.
All
right. Have a good evening.
You too. So that, like I say, the latter 4 minutes were for you. Because WGN rightfully went into news. 57:35, I had it right in front of me. I ignored it completely, clearly, not intending to, but Adam did the exact right thing. And he's exactly what he's paid to do. Cut me off. But we'll be back after the news. So I'd say give it another 6 minutes or so.
Dreams come true there every day. I hear that life don't get you down the way it gets you in this whole town. I swear I'm gonna get me there some way. They say the girls all dress real fine on Broadway.
WGN Radio. I'm Robert James. So you thought the Drifters did it originally? Nope. This group did. Who are they? 888-876-5593. 8888-Raleigh. On Monday night, trivia. So if it's Friday night, relax, enjoy the show. Don't call if it's Monday night. By all means, 888-876-5593. We're getting a little closer, maybe. We've determined that sports is involved. It's a job. In the last several decades, you hear about women's accomplishments and milestones, but the first time a woman did this was in the early 1930s, and the next time was last year. So obviously, when she was hired to do this, there were people who weren't pleased. Do what? If you don't know my questions, and you don't know my bumper stumpers, well, you can have your own category. Sky's the limit on that. And when you're asking for your own category, if you're listening, no, you can't answer the questions for someone else's category, but you can call and ask for your own category. All right, John wanted me to make sure I cleared that up, and I think it's about as clear as mud. And so, with that in mind, we're going to get to Bill in Chicago. He's got a song question. We got Laura in Willowbrook, who's going to add to Guilty Pleasures. All right, Andrew in Chicago wants soap opera trivia, and James on the South Side wants World War II trivia, and there's still plenty of time for you as we play the final hour this week of Monday Night Trivia on WGN Radio.
September, that day I'll always remember. Yes, I will, 'cause that was the day that my daddy died. Papa died when we were there young. I never got a chance to see him. I never heard nothing but bad things about him. Mama, I'm depending on you to tell me the truth. Looked up and said, son, Papa was a rolling stone. Wherever he laid his hat was his home.
And when he died,
oh, he left this world alone.
say that Papa never worked a day in his life.
WGN Radio, I'm Riley James. Well, there it is. That's the original. Who are they? 888-876-5593. And yes, you know, they did have a mega hit. That wasn't it, clearly, but it was the first time. All right, now, Bill in Chicago has been hanging on a while, so welcome to WGN Radio. What's up, Bill?
Yeah, good morning, Riley. Number one, the trivia question, was it a boxer?
No.
Okay. The music question I asked you, did you hear... I heard this today, and I couldn't believe it myself, that this recording was done over 60 years ago, and they knocked Taylor Swift out of the number one position for Christmas music this week, Brenda Lee, Rock Around the Christmas Tree.
Okay.
And they had her on, and she's 78 years old, and she sang it too. But I didn't realize. I just thought it was just an interesting thing that, you know, most people think of White Christmas and all that stuff, but it was Rock Around the Christmas Tree knocked Taylor Swift out of number one.
I'm not surprised, but I also wouldn't be surprised if Jingle Bell Rock did it, because that was one that just wouldn't die for decades.
Well, yeah, right. Well, Rock Around the Christmas Tree too.
Yeah, same kind. Same. That's what I mean. Same thing.
Yeah, but sure. But it made number one on the Christmas list this week. You know,
well,
being played on the radio now.
I guess that not only tells you how good that was, but how bad the stuff is today.
That's right. I don't listen to anything past 1980. I don't listen to.
Well, I try to avoid Christmas music. Like I say, other than Gee Whiz, It's Christmas by Carla Thomas, which I just happen to like, I tend not to play Christmas records.
Right. Well, I don't know. I don't listen to them that much either, because, you know, they got, was it WLIT here in Chicago? They started, I think it was November 1st.
Yeah.
Christmas music 24 hours a day, right?
Right. Several stations around the country do this every year, and let's face it, they wouldn't do it if it wasn't working. It really does show a bump in the ratings, and that makes me very fearful for my fellow citizens.
Right, but the trouble of it is, they play the same songs every hour, practically the same day, same time. You know, it's like, I know they're on a cycle, or they're pre-recorded, or however they do them, but you know they'll play... We'll say they'll play Rock Around the Christmas Tree at 8 o'clock in the morning, and 4 hours later they play it again.
Yeah, right. Well, it's in power rotation, right.
Right, or they play, they just rotate them around, you know.
Yeah,
so.
Sure.
Yeah, so.
Sure, they got their lists, of course. Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Well, good for Brenda.
Just something I heard today, and I thought, well,
yeah.
I wonder if you know that or heard that yourself.
Good for Brenda.
Right.
Okay. Okay, thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
Okay, right.
Yeah, that was big. And like I say, that and Jingle Bell Rock, for years, Jingle Bell Rock was like the most popular, you know, Christmas record. And I can see why, too. It was a great record. And Bobby Helms did such a nice job on that. And no, he didn't write it, which is a real shame, because the royalties he got for it were, well, I won't say slim and none, but they certainly weren't approaching what it would have been had he written it. All right, so what do we have here? I believe we're going to do some soap trivia with Andrew. Hello, Andrew. What's up?
Hi, Wally.
Yes.
First of all...
off speakerphone, you can do it. Take me off speakerphone. All right, so we can all hear you and your lovely dulcet tones. Are you there?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I'm here.
Good.
Go ahead with the trivia question.
All right, here we go. This actress debuted on The Young and the Restless in 2008, but originally she starred on All My Children. And on All My Children, what?
Wait, go on.
Okay, on All My Children, she played more than one person and was involved in a popular relationship with another woman. Who is she?
Oh, Bianca, Eden Regal.
So, name? I need her...
Eden Regal.
No.
Heather.
No. She played Frankie and Maggie Stone.
Chloe. The character is Chloe, on Young and the Restless.
Right. So, what's the actress?
Elizabeth Hendrickson.
Absolutely right.
Ha! Thank you.
Very good. All right. Well, as usual, you are a winner. Congratulations, Andrew.
Oh, guilty pleasure. Guilty pleasure song.
Yes.
Okay, it's not a bad song. but I feel guilty when people hear around me, and it's Carol King's "You Make Me Feel Like a Natural Woman."
Okay.
Because when I play it, I have to sing along to it, and I'm
all right.
A guy.
Well, yeah, we hope so anyway. Yeah, that's great. All right. Well, don't do a video, but that's terrific.
I will never do a video. I don't want to.
All right. Good deal. Thanks, Andrew. Hang on. We'll confirm that address. You are a winner. All right. So, yes, Andrew knows his Elizabeth Hendrickson trivia. She played Frankie and Maggie Stone on All My Children, and Maggie Stone was in a relationship with Bianca Montgomery, played by Eden Riegel. The relationship was hailed by fans and is widely regarded as the most popular same-sex relationship in daytime soap opera history. She debuted on The Young and the Restless in 2008 as Chloe Mitchell, the daughter of Esther Valentine. That was 72 words in search of a sentence, as far as I'm concerned. All right, but now we have Laura in Willowbrook. Welcome back to WGN Radio, Laura.
Hey, thanks. I forgot to give you one that I'm embarrassed to know.
All right.
I love Take Me Home Country Road, so I wanted to second it.
Oh, wow.
Did it earlier.
That's doing very well on the charts here. All right.
Yeah,
very good.
I love it, and everybody's like, oh, God, I can't stand it. So I'm like, oh, I can't say.
That's perfect. That's absolutely perfect. That's just what we're looking for.
Thanks, Riley. Good night.
All right. Thanks for calling. Yeah, precisely. Those are the ones. And you can vote anytime, no matter what we're doing between now and right before Christmas. And then Christmas night, we'll play back your top 10. And we might have a surprising winner. Who knows? And I'll have to check to see if any of the top 10 were also on the world's worst hit records in any given year, because usually there is some crossover there. But all right. Gwen is a second-time caller, and she's in Chicago, so good, you called me back. Welcome back to WGN, Gwen.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Riley. I want to take a chance on a trivia question.
Oh, good. What do you think?
I want to say she flew an airplane,
nope.
A military. Oh, boy.
Nope.
Okay.
We've determined it's sports-related in some way or fashion.
Oh, okay. I thought I heard. Okay.
Yeah.
I heard you talking about the girl learning with the traveling with the horse.
Oh, yeah, right. The rodeo clown. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Good deal. Well, thanks. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Riley.
Okay. So yeah, I don't know if Rodeo Clown would be sports related or not, but anyway, that wasn't the answer, so we're safe. We don't have to parse that. We're going to get some World War II trivia with James, but Jim in Drexel Hill might know a bumper. So, Jim, welcome back to WGN.
I don't know a bumper. I just have a question. You played on Broadway, right?
Yes.
Okay. Back in the 70s, there was a TV commercial. It was for, like, Radio Free Europe or something. And they would talk a foreign language for the first part of the commercial, and they go, yeah, but I did, yeah, on Broadway. So we always wondered, why was the title of the song in English and the rest of it was foreign language?
Oh, because the title of the song doesn't change. Like, like Nel Blu de Pinto de Blu, yeah, we call it Volare, but if you look at the original song by Domenico Modugno, it'll say Nel Blu de Pinto de Blu. The only one I know that we changed was Sukiyaki because they couldn't pronounce it at Capitol Records. The proper name will never be changed in another language. It is the name.
Oh, so when this commercial was on and the first part of the commercial was a foreign language, the title was on Broadway because that's the title of the song.
Right. And, you know, years and years ago.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Years and years ago, Sid Caesar. I don't know if you remember Sid Caesar. Sid Caesar had the funniest bit where it would be gibberish language. It could sound Spanish or Greek or whatever he wanted it to sound like. And in the middle of it would be like an English word. And, for instance, let's say it was a commercial for X-Lax. It would go on and on and X-Lax and then on and on and then all of a sudden, like, no poo-poo, you know, things like that. And that was the idea. So that was an old Sid Caesar bit. But yes, if it's a proper noun, it doesn't change.
So if it was any song and the commercial was in a foreign language, but then it would say, in a gata da vida?
Yeah, now there's an exception to that. Occasionally, songs are redone in another language, and when that happens, they may retitle them. That happens with a lot of the samba songs, a lot of the bossa nova.
What we might call them is not what,
and the lyrics aren't the same either. When that happens, that would be, but in the case of like an on Broadway, no, that would be on Broadway, whether they were speaking Chinese or, Russian.
Okay, I'm sorry to bother you, but
that has
bothered me forever. Like, why did they talk a foreign language in the beginning and then say on Broadway?
Right, because that's what it's called. That's why.
All right. Thank you very much.
My pleasure. Appreciate that.
All right, bye.
Yeah. That's any proper noun, unless they somehow, like I say, redid it. So one of the things that gets me is there's a very popular Spanish television network now, Univision, and I'll hear people on American television, Univision. No, it's Univision. It's not Univision, even though we might want to say that based on the way that it is spelled. But, I say, give them a break. So that's the same kind of deal. All right, so 888-876-5593 is 8888. Raleigh. And, Tommy from Chicago thinks he knows a bumper. All right, what did you hear, Tommy?
I heard, how are you doing, Raleigh?
All right.
Great show tonight. I never knew those originals were originals.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I've heard Papa was a Rolling Stone.
I didn't.
Undisputed Truth.
Undisputed Truth I played. That is absolutely true. And that's the original Undisputed Truth, 1972 on Gordy.
Can't believe it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you did another one with J-Mo Thomas.
Yeah, I didn't play J-Mo Thomas. I played the original.
I know. And then I kept thinking and thinking, was that J.J. Barnes?
Nope.
Uh-oh. Edwin Starr?
Nope. Keep going. I will tell you because nobody's
going
to get it.
I ain't going no further. You got me on these.
Well, I'll tell you. And when I said the singer for I Spy for the FBI is not what you would expect, boy, I mean it. The original singer for I Spy for the FBI was Luther Ingram.
No.
Yeah, no. That's right. Yeah. Luther Ingram.
No way.
Luther Ingram and his G-Men.
I was thinking of him all day today on that Coco label.
Yeah, that's right. I was almost playing some of that Coco stuff last week. But anyhow, so that was 1966 on Smash, Luther Ingram and the G-Men.
Yeah, my dad's birthday is on the 12th. I'm on the 13th, and when you said Pop was a Rolling Stone, I thought Undisputed Truth, Temptations. But
yeah.
I thought the Temptations did it first.
No, Undisputed Truth did it first as an album cut.
And then one of my mom's favorites was My Honey and Me, Luther Ingram.
Yeah.
One of the second. And you said he did I Spy?
Yes, he did. First one, 1966 on Smash.
Okay.
Yeah.
You got me on these.
All right. Well, you got Undisputed Truth, so hang on. Don't go away. You're a winner. Absolutely right. So we'll confirm that address for Tommy. All right, so let me put Tommy on hold so I don't hang up on him. Very good. All right, and let's see. We'll find out what's going on in the world at large. Then we got Laura, we got Cynthia, we got Mark, James on the South Side, and his World War II trivia. And Mark's going to do charts. Oh, good, 1972. I'll be ready for him, and you too on WGN Radio.
I saw my baby walking with another man today. Well, I saw my baby walking with another man today. When I asked her what's the matter, this is what I heard her say. See you later, alligator, after one crocodile. See you later, alligator, after one crocodile. See you. you later, alligator. After all, crocodile. See you later, alligator. After all, crocodile.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Monday Night Trivia. We got about 20 minutes. If nobody gets our question, our straggler, I will reveal. But I'm looking for a winner before the evening is up. Our bumper stumpers, they're all the original versions of songs that other people later made a hit. So who is that? 1955 on Chess. And our straggler, let me give you that. In the last several decades, you hear about women's accomplishments and milestones. Well, the first time a woman did this was the early 1930s, and her coworkers were so upset about it, the next time was last year. All right, so what was the woman doing? We've determined that it's sports-related on some level, maybe very sports-related. So that's the deal on that. If you don't get it, like I say, I'll reveal it at the end of the hour. Now, if you don't know my question and you don't know any of my bumper stumpers, all is not lost. You can have your own category. Pick anything out you like. You know something about something. Everybody does, right? Well, if you give me the category, I'll give you a question like we just did with Andrew and soap operas, or we'll do with James and World War II trivia. We've got it all. But if you hear somebody else who's requesting a category, understand that question is just for them. It's not open to you. You can call and ask for your own category, and then it'll be just open for you. So that's the deal. 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh. Cynthia is in Illinois. Welcome to WGN Radio. What do you think, Cynthia?
I think she swam, like the English Channel or something.
No swimming involved.
No swimming. What about boating?
No boating involved.
Oh, well, it was worth a try.
Yes, it was, and I hope you'll call me again. Thank you, Cynthia. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. So, all right. Yes, there's no bad answers here, but some of them aren't right, you see. So that can be a problem. But other than that, that's it. So we say goodbye to Cynthia, and we say hello to Laura in Willowbrook. How's it going, Laura? I think we talked to Laura earlier, actually. So that may be left over. Let me say goodbye to Laura in case it isn't. And we'll get another bumper guess here from Jimmy P. here in a moment, and then we'll do Mark's questions. And I've got James' World War II question all picked out for him. Oh, yeah. And of course, he'll probably know it because he's an idiot savant when it comes to World War II. So, all right. I was thinking John would quickly screen Jimmy so we could get his answer and see what we can do. And he's got a vote. Oh, okay, good. So, Jimmy P., welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hello?
Yeah.
Riley, I didn't know I had you. Listen. I struck out twice. That song, See You Later, I'll See You Later, Alligator. Back in the past, I heard that by a guy named Bobby Charles.
Absolutely, and it's called Later, Alligator, a 1955 on Chess.
I knew it. I heard it back in the day when I hung around the corner, you know. And I got one of those guilty pleasure songs.
Oh, good. What you got?
I don't know. I got a song. I'm not proud to... I wouldn't say I dig it when I'm around a bunch of people, but I'm a romanticist, and I listen to the words of the songs.
Okay.
This song is, when I hear it, it's a poignant song. It's called He Stopped Loving Her Today.
Oh, yes.
By George Jones.
Absolutely, yes.
Every time I hear that song, I think of this poor guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, absolutely, yeah. Billy Sherrill at his finest. He produced that. Yes, absolutely.
And that was George. What year was that one?
Oh, gosh. So it was, I'd already left. So it must have been latter 70s.
Latter 70s. He stopped loving her today.
Yeah, no.
Right.
I consider that to be the quintessential country song. Everything about that is just perfect. And George Jones, like you say, was an act who recorded it. He didn't write it. It was Bobby Braddock and Curly Putnam wrote it.
Oh, my God.
And Alan Jackson sang it during George's funeral.
Oh, boy.
Absolutely. And to me, like I say, it just the perfect country song, and it was recorded in 79, I think. Like I say, I'd been gone a few years, and they released it on Epic in 1980. But it was funny because it was hard for Billy Sherrill to record that song.
Oh, really?
Because
Well,
here's the problem, or two problems. One was George Jones hated it. And he thought it was too long, it was too sappy, too depressing, no one would ever play it. He didn't like the melody, he didn't want to learn it. And so what was really horrible is Billy would take him in the studio, and he was singing it to the tune of Kris Kristofferson's Help Me Make It Through the Night. And
That's pretty close.
Yeah, right. Well, and so Billy was, shouting, "That's not the melody!" And George was coming back, "Yeah, but it's better!" And Billy was saying, yeah, Kristofferson would think so too. It's his melody. You can't do that. And so the other thing was that George, who was a world-class drunk, obviously, was in terrible physical shape. And so the resuscitation was recorded like a year and a half after the first verse.
Oh, boy.
So, and then when it was over, George says to him, "Nobody will buy that morbid son of a," and so, so that was the deal. And, he was still with Tammy. Tammy was with, George Ritchie by that time. So that was a soap opera as well. So, yeah,
I know a few guys like that. He stopped. They never gave up.
Right, right. So. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, of course. That's the good ending of it. A typical Curly Putnam ending. Yeah, he stopped loving her because he dropped dead.
So I thought I'd throw that in there. So
yeah. All right. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Okay, I'll talk
all
to
right.
you later.
Yeah, and so we'll add to Jimmy P's stash on that. But, yeah, the number of artists who don't like the songs that later turn out to be just absolute winners is amazing. There are several. All right, so 888-876-5593. Mark is in Aurora. So, Mark, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hello.
Yeah. So we're going to do this week in December, obviously, 1972.
Yeah.
All right. Number one. you probably already know what it is.
He already doesn't like it.
Well, you won't either. Number one, I Am Woman.
Oh, yes. Helen Reddy, Australia.
Yes. Number two, Papa Was a Rolling
Stone. She said, that was Temptations. Helen Reddy bragged that there was no feminine. There was no song about women advocating women, so she had to write one.
Did she write it?
Yes.
Oh God, it gets even worse. I had no idea who wrote it. I must admit.
Yeah, that was a piece of Casey trivia.
Oh really? Oh God.
I believe.
Oh
yeah.
God. All right. So, all right, well.
We're on number three.
I swear to God, I thought Ray Burton wrote that, but maybe it was a joint venture, but I'm pretty sure Ray Burton.
Well, Helen Reddy was the same woman who, she thanked God for a song award, and she said, "I'm glad she helped me."
Uh-huh. I just looked the song up, and it was Helen Reddy and Ray Burton. All right, so...
Okay, all right. Gotcha.
I would think Ray did the majority of the work, but maybe not. All right, so let's move on. You got
number
one and number two. Number three, If You Don't Know Me By Now.
Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes.
Yes, number four, I Can See Clearly Now.
Johnny Nash.
Yeah. Number five, You Ought to Be With Me.
I'm blanking on it.
It was on High Records. How many artists can you name on High?
Yeah.
Apparently that answer would be none.
Who get high? Who get high?
No, that would be, Willie Mitchell produced it. Of course, it was on High. You'd expect that.
No.
You give up, huh?
I'm blanking.
Al Green.
I'm gonna kill myself.
Al Green.
Oh, yeah. We never heard it in Buffalo. I don't recall it in Buffalo anyway.
You just didn't like it. All right. Let's see how you do. Yeah, number six, Me and Mrs. Jones.
Billy Paul.
Number seven, It Never Rains in Southern California.
Albert Hammond.
Number eight, Ventura Highway.
America.
Number nine, Claire.
Gilbert O'Sullivan.
And number
and there 10. There was a whole piece by the gal whom that song was about that said he never did anything appropriate. It was a totally wholesome relationship.
Oh, well, that's too bad. Number 10, I'm Stone in Love with You.
Oh, Stylistics?
Yes, absolutely. All right, we got a winner.
Okay.
All right, hang on. Don't go
away. 9 out of 10 ain't bad.
That's right. All right, so, yeah, Mark does it again. Very good. All right, so we'll get to World War II here. Yes, in a moment. That's right. Bring on the war. And there's room for you, too. 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh. And I'm going to reveal here in the next 10 minutes, if you don't take a guess, that we've determined it's sports. And, you know, I realize you weren't there, neither was I. This was the early 1930s. But the first time a woman did this, oh, man, it was sports related. And her co-workers, so to speak, were none too pleased, for a very good reason, actually. And they sort of demanded that women not do this. And so the next time a woman did was last year. And now the word is that the powers that be are open to more women doing it, but I haven't heard about any. But, you know, you'd have to check with a sportscaster for that. All right, so that's where we are, and I will reveal it if you don't guess it, but this is the time to guess it. All of our bumpers have been the originals of songs that were later hits by other artists, and there's one more coming up, and I bet you're going to know who it is. You'll hear it in moments here on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. So that's our final bumper stumper, and that is the original Who Is It? 888-876-5593-8888-Raleigh. All right, so let's see. Are we going to get this question answered or not? Karen in Chicago, what do you think?
I have two of them, either Wesley or Jackie.
Okay,
horse racing.
It's not a jockey, and if it's not wrestling either, but if you were going to say wrestling, you'd have to basically say a wrestler. You know, in other words, I want to know what the job is. But no, it's not either of those.
Oh, okay.
Thanks for trying, though. Appreciate it. All right, so that's the idea. So you have to know what the job is, because that's what we're after here on this woman. Like I say, the early 30s, and oh, I know why her co-workers, I say co-workers, obviously it's sports, so it wouldn't normally be considered a co-worker, but I know why some people were ticked. All right, Annette in Carroll Stream, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hi, I'm coming in late on this one, but I'm going to guess either boxing or weightlifting.
Neither. No, but
okay.
Those are very nice tries. I like them both. Thanks for calling.
Thanks.
Okay, mm-hmm. Yeah, very, very nice. It's just not right. But yeah, it's something that obviously men do every day in terms of this particular sport, and some, you know, who have the job to do it. But the deal is, man, a woman does it, and does it well? Oh, dear Lord. All right, so Diane in Chicago going to take a guess. So, all right, Diane, what do you think?
Hi. I was thinking the cattle wrestling. I don't know the title of that.
Oh, wrestling. Okay. Okay. Like rodeo. Like rodeo events. No, not that.
Okay.
But thanks for trying.
Can I ask you,
what?
Can I ask you for an after teaser?
Advertising, yeah. Is it in front of me? Oh yeah, okay. I had to see how far I had to walk. No, I can do this. All right, let's see what we got for you. All right, this one's really easy. The brisk tea.
I'm sorry, the what?
The brisk tea.
Oh, Lipton.
Absolutely, we have a winner. Hang on.
Okay.
All right, so it's just that simple. Yes, Lipton is the brisk tea. All right. By the way, that would not make me want to go out and drink it, but I guess that it has sold tea worldwide, so must be okay then. All right, so James on the South Side. All right, James, you want your World War II question, do you?
Let me first put your straggler out of its misery. It's golf.
It is not. It is not golfers. It is not anything about golfing.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Let's see.
You ready?
Baseball?
Well, if it's baseball, I want to know what you see.
Oh, executive.
No. Try something.
Manager?
No.
Okay. Pitcher?
Yes. You are absolutely right. It was Jackie Mitchell in 1931. She pitched for the Chattanooga Lookouts and struck out both Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig back-to-back in an exhibition game against the Yankees. Ruth threw his bat against the fence in disgust, and, oh man, words were changed. The next day, the Baseball Commission voided Jackie's contract. They said it was too strenuous for a woman. In 1952, they made it official. Women were banned from professional baseball. It wasn't lifted for decades. It wasn't until last year that the first time since Jackie pitched, Kelsey Whitmore pitched for the Atlantic League, the highest level of professional baseball after the MLB. MLB execs now say they are open to the idea of a woman player if she has what it takes.
Because I'm a little bit, I remember a bit about baseball.
Well, there you go. Well, you're a winner. I don't have to ask you your World War II question. We'll have to save it for next week.
Okay.
All right, hang on. Don't go away. All right, so yes, pitching. And yeah, I mean, striking out Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig back-to-back, well, yeah, they were more than upset. And the league sided with them, actually. And yeah, to say it was too strenuous. Yeah, too strenuous for them. Jackie Mitchell did just fine. But that was 31, and it wasn't until last year. Now they say they're open to a woman player if she has what it takes. And I am too, as far as that goes. You know, I don't like changing the rules for women. You know, like if they're going to be a fireman, I want to make sure they're climbing the ladder just as fast as the guys. No different standards. But assuming the standards are exactly the same, why not? All right, so we'll see when that happens. So let's talk a little about our bumpers here in the waning moments. By the way, tomorrow we're an hour late, and that's true for Thursday as well due to the Blackhawks. No women will be involved, near as I know. And then Wednesday, it's a full show. All right, so we opened with Big Maybelle doing a whole lot of shaking going on, 1955 on OK. Yeah, obviously, Jerry Lee Lewis. Dick Holler and the Holidays did Double Shot, 1963 on Comet. Yeah, and that would be the Swingin' Medallions, except if you were in South Florida, then it was the Chaotics. Bobby Parker, You Got What It Takes, 1957 on VJ. Obviously, Marv Johnson. The Jewels did Hearts of Stone, 1954 on R&B. And it was the Charms that had the hit. Sir Mac Rice, the writer and original artist on Mustang Sally, 1965 on Blue Rock. And as you know, that, of course, was Wilson Pickett. Mary Clayton, It's in His Kiss, 1963 on Capitol. It was Luther Ingram and the G-Men, I Spy for the FBI, 1966 on Smash. The Undisputed Truth did Papa Was a Rolling Stone, 1972 on Gordy. It was an album cut. The Crystals did on Broadway. That's right. It was The Crystals on Phyllis, 1962. That's Phil Spector and Les, whatever his name was. What was Les's? I can't think of it right now. Well, anyway, he and Les had a partnership. And that was from the album Twist Uptown. Lester Still, that's it. All right. Lester Still. All right. Yeah, I'm telling you, the mind is the first thing to go, they say. I don't know. I hope it's not the first, because mine up and left me a long time ago. Bobby Charles did Later Alligator, as we determined, 1955 on Chess. And Roy Brown did Good Rockin' Tonight. That's right. I heard the news, there's a good rockin' tonight. 1947 on Deluxe. And that's before Deluxe was completely brought into the King group in Cincinnati. This was while they were still... we already had Sid Nathan having a little piece of them back then, but they were still in New Jersey at the time that Roy Brown did Good Rockin' Tonight. So that's what they were. Those are the originals for all the hits that you know. So tomorrow night, after the Blackhawks, we'll reconvene. And in the waning moments, I try to go over Carol's show prep, because it's always the absolute best to see see what I'm missing. Oh, the new moon is coming up next week, Tuesday, December 12th at 5:32 in the morning. So bottom line to that is, next Monday night, if you're going to do your prosperity checks, that would be the new moon. And the full moon is the day after Christmas, Tuesday, December 26th. All right, so I'm seeing, is there any other days happening this week of which you need to be aware? Like Microwave Oven Day is Wednesday. I'm not sure how you celebrate. It doesn't involve socks. All right, so let's see. The first day of Hanukkah is coming up on December 8th. Now, that's interesting, because I thought the first day of Hanukkah was December 1st this year. I'll have to look at the calendar. Yeah, and we'll reconvene on that after the game tomorrow night. Until then, that's a wrap. We thank Adam for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls. But above all, I thank you for calling. Couldn't do it without you. Talk to you tomorrow night right here. And John says, mail no food. I'll tell you about this tomorrow night, about the no food coming up. Yeah, don't lose sleep over it. And until then, that's it. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.